Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Enough comments on the red pants. In this one sermon, we've got three sermons. Two of them we're going to go fast. One of them we're going to go slow. Do you guys need to stretch or anything to get ready? Anybody? Are you ready to go? Let's do the fast too quickly, and then we'll get to the slow one in a minute. Fast. Here we go. It's John chapter 7, verses 32 and following, the first bit of the text. And if you're new here, this is the way we've been doing the Gospel of John. We're in the 7th chapter, the 11th month. We got about 12 more years before we get through the Gospel of John. However, I got some news for you. I was going to wait till later in the teaching to tell you, but I just can't wait because I'm excited. We're going to take December off of the month of John. And we're going to do a four-week series. There's five Sundays in the month of December. Four of them, we're going to do a series called Celebrating the Birthday Boy. Who's the birthday boy? So we're going to take the whole month, well, not the whole month, but the first four Sundays of the month of December, and we're going to celebrate the birthday boy because he's worthy of celebrating, and it's all about Jesus. Somebody say, it's all about Jesus. And so we're going to celebrate the birthday boy for the first four Sundays in the month of December. And so what I'm saying is this is the last bit of John you're getting in 2018. We'll pick up the later parts of John chapter 7 at the beginning of next year as we march ahead for the next 12 years in the Gospel of John. John chapter 7, verse 32 and following. Here's the fast one. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Last week they were whispering, is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? The Pharisees heard the crowds whispering such things about Jesus. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. Jesus said, I am with you only for a short time, and then I'm going away to the one who sent me. Fast one. Jesus' time on earth as a human was meant to be short. He was not meant to be here for a long time because the work he did, it was pointed and specific and strategic, and he didn't need a long time. He only needed 3 years to accomplish his task. And the phrase, I am going, tells us something about this Jesus. It was all voluntary. All of it was voluntary. Spoiler alert, Jesus actually gets arrested eventually and thrown on the cross and crucified and killed, right? I am going tells us that it's all voluntary. Even the nails he took on the cross was a voluntary effort. It wasn't done unto him. He volunteered to have it done because his time was short and he had a specific thing he had to do. His time was short and it was voluntary. He left heaven and its comforts for a small time in a voluntary way. For one reason. Here's the fast one. Are you ready to get this one? This might be all you need to get. You can ignore everything else, but this might be just the thing you need. Here it is. He left for a short time. His season was short, and he voluntarily did it because he, here it is. Are you ready for it? This is better than the fact that this place is good for that you're here. It's better that you're here. Are you ready for some good news? He did it all for you. Yeah. Oh, goodness. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was in Brazil with my friend Bob, who's right here today, and he was translating for me on stage. This is a big church, wasn't it, Bob? There was like a couple thousand people up there, and they did what you just did. And through a translator later, speaking Portuguese, I told them that I don't let the awkward church clap go by in my own church. And so these friends of mine down in Brazil, I said, y'all can't give me the awkward church clap. And so they learned that the awkward church clap ain't a thing to go. Maybe you're new here and you don't know that the awkward church clap is just, it's kind of awkward to me, you know. So here's the deal. If you hear somebody clapping, it's not awkward because they're clapping. It's awkward because you're not clapping with them. Right? And so let's try this again. Jesus came to planet Earth, left the comforts of heaven, took the nails, all of that voluntarily because he loved you. There we go. There we go. For you, turn to your neighbor with your friendly finger and say, it's for you. It's for you. Here's what Peter would say about that in 1 Peter 3:18. Christ suffered for our sins. Somebody say, my sins. Once and for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners. Somebody say, that'd be me. He died for sinners to bring you safely home. Somebody say, me. And he suffered physical death, but he was raised to life. His time was short, and it was voluntarily done because he loved you. And maybe that's all you need to hear in church today, that Jesus loved you. And maybe we could kickstart our celebrating of the birthday boy, that he came because he loved you. All right, God bless you. Moving on. We're going to go fast. Here's the second one. Jesus says to those people who are trying to arrest him, he's saying now something to those who are about ready to arrest him. You'll look for me, he tells them, but you'll not find me. And where I am going, you cannot come. So here's the fast one. This is a word that was given to those who were going to arrest Jesus, those who were going to persecute him, those who were against him. They were trying to drive him out, arrest him, and remove him. Soon, they will get their wishes. Eventually, Jesus goes to the cross, goes to the tomb, and he ascends into heaven. Soon, Jesus will no longer be in their midst, and they will get exactly what they want. Here's the scary part. Somebody say, uh-oh. There will be a day when those who are against Jesus will no longer be able to find him and thus miss out on all that he has to offer. I'm going to say that again. For those who are rejecting Jesus, who are pushing Jesus aside, who want Jesus gone, there will be a day when that is what's going to happen and he will no longer be accessible to you or those who reject him. And thus, those who say no to Jesus now, there will be a day when it's no longer possible to get the blessings Jesus has. Jesus is good. And Jesus has blessings beyond our wildest dreams, including freedom and peace and joy on planet Earth and eternity of joy and peace after this life. But Jesus says to those who are trying to get rid of him, who want nothing to do with him, he goes, someday you're going to get what you want and you will no longer have access to me. And so if you have not said yes to Jesus, maybe today's the day you say yes to Jesus. Why wait? He's good. And if you've been with us any length of time, we see in the Gospel of John, he ain't about religious perfection. He's about relationship with the King of Kings. He ain't about your performance. He's about perfecting you in him. And if you say no to him, there will be a day when you can't say yes to him. The author of Proverbs would say it this way, they will call on me, but I will not answer. Somebody say, uh-oh. They will look for me, but they will not find me. Somebody say, uh-oh. Since they hated the knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Or Jesus would say later in the Gospel of Luke, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you'll not see it. There will be a day when those who reject Jesus will miss out on his glory and his gifts. But the good news is, that day is not today. In fact, that day isn't even close, right? Because today's the only day that we have. And so the day when Jesus is no longer accessible to those who reject him, that's not today. And so maybe for the longest time you've been like, I'm not sure about this Jesus. Maybe Christ's followers have been stupid and you've seen dumb Christians do dumb things and you're like, I don't want nothing to do with that. I want to tell you that, you know what, Jesus has a bunch of knuckleheads who follow him. I'm the first to raise my hand. And sometimes Jesus' followers misrepresent him. Don't base your opinion on Jesus simply on his followers. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, let me say this. People are basing their opinion on Jesus upon you. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to present a good image of Jesus, right? Because we don't want to misrepresent the goodness of who Jesus is. There will be a day when those who reject Jesus no longer have access to him. He says, you won't find me. But today is not the day. Don't put off the day. Maybe today's the day you join in the journey of following Jesus. Maybe. Whew. That's two quick sermons right there. You guys ready for the slow one? Yeah. Are you sure? Ask your neighbor. Are you ready? Here's the one where we're going to hang our hats on today. The Jews said to one another, hang on, preaching's thirsty work. So I was listening. You want some water? Tough. Security, take that man out. Here we go. On the last and greatest day of the festival. Now, you remember we're at the Feast of what? Anybody remember? Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles. It was an 8-day-long feast where they would live in tents remembering the goodness of God delivering them from captivity way back when. And they would live in tents and they would celebrate and they'd remember. Well, here we have the last day, the culmination of it all. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty. Come to me and drink. It was a loud voice. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Here is an invitation, my friends, for all souls. Somebody say all. Somebody say souls. Somebody say all souls. The invitation from Jesus is for everyone. And if you knew the original language, which the New Testament is written in what language? Somebody say Greek. You would know that phrase, whoever believes in me, actually means whoever knows how to behave right in church. If you were to study the ancient language, you would understand that whoever believes in me means you've got to act right, believe right, dress right, talk right, wear the right clothes in church. Certainly not red pants. Certainly not a hat. You must wear a tie. You can't have tattoos on your arms. If you have all of that, then you'll come to Jesus and be saved. Amen? Who said baloney? Somebody repeat after her, baloney. You see, but that's what we like to say. But Jesus keeps it simple. He says, whoever believes in me. That's it. You just got to believe. It's simple. It ain't a matter of striving and work. It's a matter of simply saying to Jesus, I believe in you. Paul would say it this way. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. That is so un-American. Are you kidding me? I mean, don't you have to earn it? How many of you have gone to work, you know, and you're supposed to punch the clock? You punch the clock and you sit there and do nothing all week long and then you show up for your paycheck. What would happen? But Jesus isn't an American business owner. He's a gracious God who expects only belief. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. Just believe. Jesus would say it this way, also recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. My goodness, does that describe some of you today? Whew. I mean, right there, you ought to just perk up because, you know, all the other religions in the world say you got to pretend like you're not weary and burdened. You got to have your act together. But Jesus said, come on, come all who are weary and burdened. Quite frankly, if you pretend you're not weary and burdened, you might be missing out on a blessing God has for you. And that's why we've said for years here, if you got a pulse, that's not really the point though, because if you got a pulse, you have a, right? But you can't get to your purpose till you deal with your issues. So Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and get this. Now listen, you need to listen. If you're weary and burdened, I got some good news for you. In Jesus, there's this. He goes, come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I will give you Maybe some of you need to repeat after me. Sometimes life is weary and burdensome. And Jesus says, just come to me and I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's imagery of oxen, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, right? Living in the farm that you do, right? It's just a yoke. You put it on the ox and they do the thing. He's got it on. You know, it's just, somebody say moo. Do ox moo? I don't know. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And then get this, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. All you got to do is believe. I mean, this is really good news. It's good news so much so that some of us who've been in church for any length of time, we hear the good news of Jesus. We're like, well, come on, let's stop doing seeker-sensitive services. Give me some meat. Well, that's dumb. That's the meatiest thing in the world that God, for He just loves you so much. All you got to do is believe in Him. Whether it's your first day believing Him or your millionth day in believing Him, He has rest for your soul. And I'm telling you, if you've heard it a million times, sometimes life is still burdensome and weary, and you still need to come to the one who has rest for you. And so we're going to take the whole month of December off of the Gospel of John, and we're going to celebrate the birthday boy. Because he's worthy of celebrating because of good news like this. All you got to do is believe. And we're going to set out a goal. How many of you like goals? Goals are awesome, and I can become OCD with them. Anybody else have OCD goals where you set a goal and bam, you got to get after it no matter what? The news of Jesus is good. Do you agree? If you agree, tell your face and your vocal cords. It's just good news. And so we're going to celebrate the birthday boy for the month of December. And what we want to do, here's the goal for the month of December. We want to add 100 people to the family in December. What did I tell you about the awkward church clap? You left that person hanging. Now, here's what I mean. We're going to add 100 people to the family. When I say we're going to add 100 people to the family, I'm going to invite my friends and you're going to invite your friends because we got more than 100 empty chairs in here because people who don't yet know of Jesus need to hear of this birthday boy who's worthy of celebrating, and they need to hear that Jesus has good things for them. All they have to do is believe. So 100 in December. Who are you going to invite? This is going to be easy. Because there's hundreds of you in the room right now. And if each of you would just fight one, we'd have all kinds of space issues. We're going to celebrate the birthday boy because he doesn't say you have to act right, believe right, talk right, dress right. He doesn't say anything about red pants or tattoos. He says you just got to believe in me. You, somebody say me. Yeah, you. You have a part to play in bringing the good news of Jesus to planet Earth. You have a part to play in bringing the good news of Jesus to planet Earth. Let me be more specific. You have a part to play in bringing the good news of Jesus to your small little circle. You have people you work with, people you live with, neighbors who don't yet know the goodness of Jesus. And I'm asking you, who are you going to bring to Jesus through December? Did you know that people are much more likely to receive an invitation to come to church in the month of December than any other month? And did you know that people, 86% of people, according to Gallup, 86% of people would respond favorably to going to church, this is all year round, if somebody would just ask them. It's not hard. A model. Hey, no pressure, but you want to go to church? That's it. Who are you going to invite? Because the one who says, if you just believe, has goodness for your friends that they don't yet know of. Who are you going to invite? On the last and greatest day of the festival is when all this took place. It's day 8, as we mentioned. The festival's about over. This was his moment. Jesus didn't go in on day 1. Thank you, Jesus. Get off of there, sucker. Spoiler alert. on the last and greatest day. This was his moment. He didn't come in on day one. He didn't come on day two. Because on day one and day two, not everyone was there. Because some people had to get there from a long, long way away. Some people had to take some time to travel. He waited till the crowds were largest. He waited till everybody was gathered. And this was his moment to strike. And his brothers, if you recall, who tried to get Jesus to go down earlier, but he said, I'm not going. They wanted him to be popular. He didn't care about popularity. He cared about people believing in him and their freedom. Jesus wasn't concerned about his popularity. He was concerned about people's freedom. And so he waited till the last day, and he struck when the crowds were the largest and everybody was gathered, because he wanted everybody to know the truth about him. And he said in a loud voice, if you just believe, if you just believe. And then on that eighth day, not only did he wait on the eighth day because that's when people came and the crowds were the largest, he waited on the eighth day because what happened on the ninth day? They all went home. And had he, you know, shared his vision on day one or two, well, a lot can happen between day two and day eight, like forgetfulness. But he waited to day eight, not just because the crowds were large and he wanted as many people to hear the truth about him as possible, but he wanted that many to take the good news of Jesus with them. He wanted them to take it with them wherever they went. Not only was the good news for the large masses on day eight, it was for those people who couldn't make it to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus told them on the last day so that it would be fresh, so that they could take it with them and go home and tell others. And that's why Jesus, I think, would have a church grow. Because he wants people who don't yet know about him to know about him. And so if I mentioned that the goal for us in December is to grow by 100 family members. Have I mentioned? Three of you remember me saying that. Do you remember? 100 in December. He waited for the eighth day. Well, it says he stood and said in a loud voice. A loud voice. See, Jesus is serious about people learning the truth about him. He didn't want to whisper. He didn't want to be subtle. He wanted to be loud. Because he knew that he was the only way for people to find freedom. And so he stood up and loudly proclaimed the truth about himself. I want you to know that you are the only Jesus some people are ever going to see. People are only going to learn about this Jesus, this one who stood and loudly proclaimed things about himself. They're only going to hear about Jesus by your life. And I'm wondering, Mr. and Mrs. Christ follower, if your life speaks loudly for the goodness of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, the Savior, that's Jesus. He wants all, somebody say all, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All of them. Even the ones that only you know. Nobody else in this room knows them but you. Nobody else in the room knows those people who are included in the all except for you. Jesus wants to use you to proclaim his truth loudly. And Peter would make sure that we get this in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's the Lord, that's Jesus. He is patient. Somebody say, praise God for that. How many of you are knucklehead and know it? All right, if you really know it, let's race. I win. I really know it. How many of you make mistakes regularly? How many of you do that thing again and again? And you're like, I can't do that thing again. I'm never doing it again. But then you do it again. It's just me. Is it just me? He is patient with you. He doesn't want any to be destroyed. He wants all people to turn from their sins. Somebody needs you to stand loudly and proclaim Jesus. And it's been said, speak Jesus always, sometimes use words. Yeah. He was loud on that eighth day. And then he said this. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. See, the imagery here comes from the Old Testament. The Israel, remember, they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles when they were delivered from Egypt. There were thousands upon thousands of Israelites coming out into the desert, and there ain't no water for them people. And so God provided water for the nation of Israel thousands of years before this. Everybody who was hearing this would understand what's going on. And so God provided water for them. Anybody know how God provided water for them? Told Moses, strike the rock first time. He struck the rock and water came out and everybody had a drink of water. Happened a couple times. The people were thirsty and God provided water. And so what's going on during this eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priest would go to the Pool of Siloam and they would gather buckets of water, big heavy buckets, and they would carry these big heavy buckets. Meanwhile, thousands and thousands of Jews are gathered there watching this going on, and water for the people is scarce. And it's an arid climate, and it's kind of hot, so the people were probably a little thirsty, and the priests are carrying water, and they take this water not to give to the people, but to go to the ceremonial spot where an altar is, and they take this water and they dump it. It's okay, I work here. They dump it on the rock over this altar to remember how God provided water for the people out of the rock. Meanwhile, the people are literally really thirsty. And they're watching the water get poured out. And I wonder if they're saying to themselves, well, that's a nice ceremony. It's a nice religious practice, but I don't do nothing for my physical need right now. And so when Jesus says, come to me, anyone who's thirsty and drink, I think he's meaning both literal and figurative things. Literally, Jesus wants to meet our needs. And that's in part why we partner with the Gospel Mission and Urban Alliance and why we have our overflow meal, where we just want to help meet physical needs here. That's why we partnered with Guatemala City and Uganda, providing for orphans who otherwise without us wouldn't have food to eat. That's why we partnered with Maple Street Middle School and our Hope Project to help them meet the physical needs of boots and coats and some food and some coaching and some training and some encouragement to the teachers, because there are some physical things that God is concerned about. And so when Jesus says, as these people are thirstily watching the priest dump the water out, come to me and I'll give you a drink, he literally means he's going to take care of your physical needs. And sometimes he meets the needs of others through people like you. But he also means something bigger than physical needs. He's speaking kind of figuratively. And in earlier, we talked about that passage where Jesus says, come to me who are you are weary and burdened. He knows that it's sometimes thirsty to be alive. Some of you know what it is to live thirstily, to have a parched soul, to have everything go wrong, to feel like the world is against you. And I'm not necessarily talking physical, that might be it, but I'm wondering if you know what it is to be thirsty of soul. Well, to those of you who are thirsty of soul, Jesus says, come to me and drink. Now, if you've been to the river any length of time, you've heard my struggles with depression. What has kept me alive in depression, has kept me going through therapy, is regular daily contact with the King of Kings who brings water to my soul. Some of you have been living parched for too long. I want to say to you, come to Jesus and drink. Come and drink. And then he says, this is amazing. He says, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. Rivers of living water will flow from within. You see, For those who come to Jesus, he meets needs and he provides thirst quenching. But everyone who follows Jesus, according to our text, everyone who is a follower of Jesus becomes a source of water for thirsty people. Now, I'm talking to you if you're not paying attention. If you're sleepy, wake up. For the thirsty people in your world, you are to be the source of living water for them. Because when you come to Jesus, he says, living waters will flow from within. It'll flow from within. It doesn't mean it'll flow and stay in there. We'd be very bloated if that was the case. It'll flow and it will go on out. And so everybody who is hearing my voice and is a follower of Jesus needs to realize that you are to be a distributor. You can have two because you jumped the gun. Way to go. Take three. Yeah. Mr. Kilborn was calling for some water. You're not getting any? Just kidding. You can have it. You can have it.
Thank you.
As a follower of Jesus, the water of Jesus quenches your soul, and you are supposed to pass it on to others. And so it's not just mere goal for the sake of having goal that we want 100 new people in the family.
There you go. Yeah. You two can have that. Here you go, honey. There you go.
There are people who need you to pass on the waters that only Jesus has. Balcony, I'd love to throw this up there, but that would be dumb. I'm not doing that. There's perks of sitting in the front. You get spit on when I get excited. And you get a little water. Come to me. And I will give you water to drink. Okay, though. There you go. Here we go. Oops. There's two. There we go. Sometimes when you just leave the water right there, people notice it and they'll pick it up on their own, right? So Jesus says, according to our text, that everyone who comes to him, he'll give a drink. And living waters will flow from within them. And so December, we're going to see thirsty people get a drink of Jesus in large numbers because you're going to bring them to hear of Jesus. John chapter 7.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.